All right. Hey, welcome everybody. Just hit record on the conference call. It is 8:30 a.m. on March the 5th. We are into our March Madness, and welcome everybody who's on the call live or if you're listening recorded. But we do these calls every week, and definitely important that you plug into them to help keep you connected. I know we got a lot of new folks, you know, joining the SLG family and getting your business started. So it's super important to stay connected. I congratulate all of you that are writing your first piece of business, and so many of you that are breaking through. We got a couple really specific topics that we're going to dive into. David's going to cover. I want to talk about something really quickly before I flip it over to David. And that is really the sort of the emotional stages that you go through with your business. And I think this is important to talk about, because it's one of those things you don't want to pretend like it doesn't exist, because it's a part of what you go through when you're building your business. And so I want to just talk for a second and maybe put in a different perspective. When you're just starting your business, typically all of you, I'm sure, When you launch your telesales business, you're really doing it from an emotional state of pure excitement and energy, excitement about what's going to happen, what's going to take place. It's really the emotion that's typically taking place. Yes, there's a little bit of nervousness that takes place, you're nervous about making phone calls or not knowing if you're going to handle the objections right and all that stuff. But for the most part, you're excited about the opportunity to build a lifestyle business for your family. So that's a great emotional place that you start at. What happens once you start getting into it, inevitably, things never work exactly like we think they're going to work. I don't care what business you're starting. This is true of any business. It's really, there's a book called The Entrepreneurial Roller Coaster that I really love, and it applies directly to what we're doing. But what happens for all of us, every single one of us, is after excitement, there's going to begin to be elements of doubt. And that's because you're going to have, you know, people tell you they didn't request the insurance, and that's going to create a little bit of doubt, or you're going to have people cancel a policy, or you're not going to, you know, feel like you're doing as good as you thought you were going to do. The reality is seeds of doubt will start to seek in. Okay. It's just part of it. And for anybody that doesn't experience that, bless you. You're the exception, not the rule. But I know for myself, this is sort of the emotional thing that happens. After doubt, it can sometimes go even deeper into an element of fear. Like, oh my gosh, what if I can't ever do this? What if this doesn't work? And it's more just fear of that can start to grip hold. But then what happens for those that stay, you know, that stay with it, is all of a sudden little things happen and you start to have hope again, right? It's not the same level of naive excitement from when you first started, but you start to have some hope. It's sort of like if you're a golfer, you know, and you actually hit that one good shot, you're like, man, maybe I can actually do this, you know, play this game. So you start to have hope. But it can tend to be a little bit of cycle when you're in the beginning stages of your business, meaning you're kind of cycling back and forth. That's why it's like a roller coaster emotionally, back and forth from doubt to fear to hope. And sometimes you can be experiencing all of those emotions in the very same day. And so, but what eventually happens is when you stay in the game, that's why we talk about staying in the game. If you stay in the game, you eventually get to a different emotion, which is more like it's more like confidence. It's not that you don't experience all the same things, but you've done it long enough to all of a sudden you're like, you know what, this works. I can do this. You start to trust yourself. You trust the numbers, and you start to then go back to that element of true excitement, to where you know what you can do with this business, and so. I just want to talk about it because all of you inevitably, and maybe that's just the best way I know how to describe it. I usually refer to it as when you're crossing the desert. You know, when you launch a business, there's an element of you're getting through a desert. And that's really a lot of what you experience in the first 6 to 9 months of your business. And I want to congratulate all of you on this call who have crossed that 9-month mark. I mean, just huge shout out. Because it's just because you've, and I mean, if we brought you on the call one by one, I think you would agree that you've experienced elements of what I just described, some doubt every now and then. I know we don't like to talk about, you know, say that, but it's just true. We, you know, we're sitting there, we're making calls, and then we start, you know, inevitably something happens, we start to have some doubt or we start to have some fear. And these are just, these are real life things. And so I don't, you know, we try to be totally transparent. Like we 100% believe in this business. It works and anybody can do it. The key factor is, can you stay in the game through those kind of emotional ups and downs in the very beginning? And it looks different for everybody and everybody's situation is different, but there's an element of that for all of us that are building our business. So I really am trying to give you an element of a little bit of encouragement to say, if you're experiencing some doubt, maybe even some fear, I just want to say, hey, congratulations, you're on the call and that you're keeping yourself in the game. And getting through the desert is a lot about survival. Do what you have to do, but don't get out of the game. Stay in the game because you're going to get to where you reach confidence that you know 100% that this is going to work for you and you can scale it to whatever degree you want to. If that means making $1 million a year, but you got to get through that beginning stages of kind of some of that doubt and fear that you experience. So I just want to touch on that real quick, but really let's dive into some more meat here, some specifics that I know everybody wants to hear. So we're going to have David, and I don't do it enough. David is just a telesales rock star, not because he does anything magic or anything different. I mean, we share exactly 100% everything that we do, but the main thing is David shows up. You know what I mean? He's the guy. If you're on a sports team, he's the one that's in the gym early. He's there late. He's practicing. He's at the batting cages. He was a baseball player. He's putting in the work behind the scenes, just showing up constantly, just showing up. That's really it. It's not, I mean, doing the basics, not getting bored of the basics. So just obviously he's going for a huge goal in March. I hope all of you are stretching yourselves. But what we're going to talk about for David to talk about first, David, I'm going to bring you on the call and you can take it and run with it. But let's first address kind of the smoke screens that people get when they're calling leads. I want to give a shout out to Spencer Holmes. He closed a $177 a month policy, and he actually let me hear the very first call that was made to that lead, and it was I told him I'm not looking for insurance. Like, it was a total blow off. Like, it was not, I didn't want insurance, but that turned into a $177 a month level policy. Like, you know, something most you do that in a week, you're having a good week, right? So we want to talk about smoke screens and how to still drive in for the quote and get past those smoke screens and drive for 35. Hopefully all of you are kind of setting that goal to do that. So David, with that, let's run with that topic. You take it however you want to, if you need me to, you know, whatever, but turn it over to you.
Thanks, Rick. And as always, it's dynamite information up front. And of course I appreciate the kind words. Getting right into the meat of it, you know, this business is predictable. If you're new, then you'll come to understand more and more of what we're about to go over. But if you've been in the business a little bit, then a lot of this information that we are going to say is really going to jump out at you, because so much of it is predictable. And one of those predictable things is a smoke screen, is what we like to call it. It's just a false objection that the lead typically makes right off the bat, whether they know they're doing it or not. It's just more of a automatic thing, kind of like if you were to walk into a shoe store. You know you're looking for shoes. You may not know the type of shoes you need, but the moment someone comes up and asks you if there's anything they can do, your first reply, knee-jerk reaction is, no, I'm fine, I'm just looking, right? That's the very first thing that we all say, and it's not any different than over the phone. One of the automatic knee-jerk reactions when someone answers is, I'm not interested, I already have life insurance. So knowing that going in, you know, understanding, hey, that's probably going to be something that they say, well, that allows us to have a rebuttal for that. And, you know, Spencer did a great job in closing Absolute Monster because he he played it cool and he understood, and he's had enough dials under his belt that, hey, that's probably going to be something that they say. So the goal of each call is to quote. We're driving for 35 quotes. How quickly can we get to 35 quotes? So my goal is to quote every single person that picks up their phone, right? No matter how they respond. So using that as the example, you know, going off of Spencer's, because it's very common, this is my simple reply. That's fantastic, Rich. How much coverage do you have? And then, you know, keeping it positive. That's the main thing. You know, you want it, no matter what they say, you want to agree with them and be optimistic and positive. Because the next thing, if you know that they have coverage, well, I'm quickly just going to try to quote them a level plan. Well, that's great, Rich. How much coverage do you have? And they'll tell 10,000. Phenomenal. Well, what's your birthday? Because what I'll do for you is pull up a very quick comparison and see if we can find something a little bit less expensive, because I understand saving money is an important thing for most people. And what you will come to find is, of course, there'll be some people who hang up or completely just not interested, but you'll also find that you're going to get those $177 apps or $50 apps, because when you quote them, it's less than what they have, or, which is also very common, they may not have coverage at all. It was just something they said to get you off the phone. But when you present them with the information and the quick quote, then you have their attention. And at that point, the moment you have their attention, you're able to start working through the body of your outline to make sure they're eligible and qualified and things like that. But remember, no matter what they say at the beginning, all you're trying to do is navigate to the quote. So I'm not interested. Okay, great. Do you already have life insurance? Yep, had it for a long time. Phenomenal. Well, how much coverage do you have? It's simply just deflecting and bouncing and pivoting to find a way to get their birthday so you can quote them, you know? So that's the number one objective. It doesn't matter what they say, but understand if they throw you up one of those smoke screens, don't just get off the phone and move on, because you're missing sales. And that's something that you learn through experience. And Rich and I, like many of you on this call, we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dials to back that data up. So this isn't something that we've read in a book or watched on YouTube from someone saying. This is our experiences. This is what we do, and that's why we're teaching it, because it works. It works. I get one or two sales a day off of the exact same opening, and that is not an exaggeration. A large portion of my sales, I wouldn't say a majority because I don't know, but a big portion of my sales, it's overcoming and doing a quick quote right off the bat because they told me they already have coverage. So I'm just doing them the service of helping them to make sure they're not one of those people paying more than they should. So that's the benefit we have. If you're driving for 35, all of your focus is how can I get to 35 quotes? I got to get to 35. Or as you should be doing, or if you're not, I strongly encourage you to do, is you're driving for a quote number, a target number of quotes each and every day. However long you have it planned to execute 35 quotes, break it down into a day. For me, I try to make 20 quotes is my number for my goals. Now, I try to exceed that, but 20 is my minimum number. So I am driving and driving and driving to get to that number. And when I do, averages will help me hit my goal, just like for everyone else. Like Rich just said, it's not that my numbers are necessarily better. They're all very similar. It's just based on my experience, I'm able to move through a little bit more efficiently than those who are relatively new. So, Rich, does that help kind of explain the mentality of driving for 35 in the smoke screen?
100%. Maybe two things. So everybody, if you're brand new, we refer sometimes we use the terminology quick quote. So I just want to clarify, we're not trying to rush into a quote on every call. And a lot of you know this. I'm just clarifying if maybe you're listening for the first time. We want to go through the outline like David teaches and all that stuff. But there are times, like he mentioned on a smokescreen, that you're going to be a little quicker. And that's what we refer to as a quick quote. What we're really trying to do is I visualize it as if I'm doing field sales, I've now crossed the threshold and went into the house. Then we can open up and start to do the sale. So, yes, that 100%. One, it may be real quick, David, if you can address one other smoke screen, because I think these are probably the two most common. Maybe if they tell you, I told, and I know sometimes you don't get past these, but I told them I really wasn't interested. You know, maybe how would you, what would, how do you respond to that in a positive way and still try to drive forward with a quote somehow?
Yeah, it's very similar. So, you know, yeah, and you're right, it's extremely common. I told them I didn't want it. The way that I respond is, oh, okay, that's great. How much coverage do you have? Because at that point, I then go to the assumption they already have coverage. And so they'll say, oh, I've got, you know, 15,000. Well, perfect. What's your birthday? I'll be happy to give you a comparison to make sure you're not paying more than you should. So it's almost the same. It's just a slight tweak. It's trying to figure out how much coverage they have. And a lot of the time you'll realize they don't know. They'll say, I don't know. I've had it a long time ago. Then I'll get very direct. And this is one thing that I've had to work on, but I'm very comfortable at this stage of my experience of asking very difficult forward questions. And so I mean, I say, for example, Rich, if you die tomorrow, how much money will your kids get or your wife get? Because what I've known is I just pulled really hard on an emotional string very quickly, and so it makes them think, well, I'm actually not very sure, or, oh, I got 15. They, at that point, it's a clarity question for them because it's making it real. At least that's been my experience. So, you know, I'll drive right in, fantastic, you've already got coverage, how much? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, well, if you died tomorrow, how much money would your loved ones get? And then I just sit back and allow them to process the question. And then when they reply, I base my, you know, of course, pushing the ball closer to the quote, trying to get closer to the quote, I just navigate the conversation by agreeing with them in the same way, being positive about it, but then really finding, hey, what's the problem? Here's the solution. What's the problem? Here's the solution, with the goal of getting a quote.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to highlight, you said it, but I want to highlight it because I actually did not know this until it was taught to me. It was not instinctual. So, and I'm an agreeable person by nature, but still, I think most of us think when we hear an objection that we are to like basically give them the truth or disagree with it. And what Dave and I have learned and it's very valuable, is never disagree, and especially over the phone. It doesn't matter what they say, you agree, and you move forward. It's almost like you just, and I don't know if you heard that in every one of David's responses, but no matter what the objection is, hey, great, oh, that's awesome. You know, he did not ever disagree, no matter what the objection is. You don't, because the minute you disagree, they don't like you anymore. They want to get off the phone. But when you agree, you just keep moving forward with your process. So I just want to highlight that. Always agree with them. Always congratulate them. Don't disagree. Even when they say something that's so off the wall it's not correct, you don't have to disagree with it. You just want to keep moving forward in your process.
100%. Great point, Rich.
Well, you made it. I just want to highlight it that because that's not, you know, a lot of people, if they're if you're just getting started, that you may think you need to disagree with their objections, and you don't. You want to agree with them. All right, so next topic, and then, David, you just take it and run with this because I know it'll kind of take. But and let me set it up really quickly for those of you that may be a little newer on the call. So every time we're speaking to a client or to a lead, we want them all to be a client. Every time we're speaking to a lead, our goal is to get them what we refer to as level coverage, because that's how it's labeled in the quoter. So these are your preferred plans, your simplified issue. That's the best product for the client. So maybe you're leading with the Liberty Bankers or Trinity Life or whatever carrier. You know, everybody has their kind of focused niche carriers they're starting with. But when your goal is to get them a level policy. So we pre-qualify a lead. And then we do the best we can, you know, and then we want to apply. Like David says, shooters shoot. You know, David can't spend 4 hours with a lead before he shoots the ball. He's got to shoot the ball so he can find out if he's going to score and move on to the next one. So eventually you have to shoot. But when you shoot, no matter how good you pre-qualify, oftentimes you will get a decline or it'll come back differently. So we refer to a flip as when we get a decline, we then need to flip them. Rather than just marking it as a no-go and going the next one, we want to still pick up a sale. And so, and we want to get them coverage. We want to help because they don't have coverage or they need extra coverage. So we refer to a flip as when you apply with a level coverage, they get declined or it comes back in a way they don't want it, and then we want to flip it to a different carrier, which typically is going to be Guaranteed Trust Life, or maybe it's, you know, Great Western or AIG. That's where most flips will go to. So what for? I'm going to turn it over to David to basically just talk about the whole process of what he does to flip a person when they get declined, let's say, to a different carrier. So I just wanted to clarify what that actually means for those of you just turning in. So, all right, David, take it away.
Yeah. So we all the way to the point, we got the quote, and we're going to apply. Now, I have three keys on every application that I submit, okay? They want it. You've pre-approved them, and now you're letting them know how simple the process is to get approved. So I'll walk them through three things, okay? So this – And I'll walk you through exactly how I do it. So, Rich, congratulations. So here comes the easy part. It's getting you approved. Now, this is a very simple process. It's a short phone interview, and at the end of the call, we will know if you're approved or not. And, again, just as a reminder, one of the many benefits when you're approved, there is no payment required unless you choose to pay today. But, again, we are able to choose whatever day of the month that you prefer. Now, at the end of the call, if you do not get approved, do not worry. Don't get frustrated or upset because you have so many other options. This is just the best one and most affordable based on the way you just answered those health questions. So we're going to start here because it's the best choice. Now, if it comes back denied or different based on your health or any medications you may be taking, don't worry. I'm going to go over the next best choice. We'll keep your budget the same, and if we have to, you know, adjust the amount of coverage to make sure it stays affordable, we'll be able to do that for you. But I just want you to be prepared. This is the number one choice, but again, if it comes back different or you get denied, don't take it personal because, you know, these companies are strict when it comes to health. But based on how you just answered it, I feel confident. But we're going to get you coverage no matter what, okay? So to kind of clarify what I just did is I'm prepping them. I'm preparing them for the worst-case scenario, being denied. The second thing I'm doing is I'm keeping it upbeat and positive, letting them know that, hey, getting denied is a part of the process, but it's not a big deal because we still have choices. But I'm shooting for the best option. And then the third thing, you're constantly educating them of the process. For example, it's all based on health. It may not be your current health. It could just be a medication that showed up on your list. And then you're keeping it upbeat. So you're educating, and then, of course, you're going to congratulate them. I congratulate them no matter what the outcome is. For example, they get to the end of the interview, and the person on the other line says, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get coverage. I'll say, hey, no problem, thanks. Get off, and I'll tell the lead, hey, like I said, no sweat. We got great news. We still got you an option. Okay, so here's what we need to look at. First, let's make sure we keep it affordable. So are you able to go up at all, or is this the top of your budget? They say the top. Okay, no problem. So we'll keep the same thing, and all we have to do is lower it to X amount of coverage, right? So that's fine. We'll keep you the same price, get you a little bit less coverage, but we're going to get it for you. Once they agree to that, I'll say perfect. Now, you educate them on their new plan because it is different. If they apply for level, they may be expecting day one coverage. So you need to help them understand that they still get day one coverage, but the rules in which that applies is different. So this is how I like to transition. So Rich, congratulations again. We got you the best thing available based on your health. Now I want it to be clear how this works. So when the policy arrives and you go through it, make sure you call me if you have any questions, because I don't want any stone to be unturned. I want to make sure you understand everything completely. But again, based on your health and the medications that have showed up on your report, we are getting you now the best thing available. Remember, you still get day one coverage no matter what, as long as your death is an accident. But based on your health, if you passed away outside of an accident, for example, you know, a natural cause due to your current health, then if it's within a certain time frame, let's use Great Western or AIG as an example, then they're going to return those payments plus 10% interest. So it's a really great return for your money no matter what. But because of your health, the rules are slightly different. So just make sure you let me know anything that you have questions on when that policy gets there, but you should expect that policy to arrive in the next 7 to 10 days. Boom. And that's it. You keep it upbeat and positive. As long as they understand, if they're expecting they could get denied, they understand it's a part of the process. You educating them how it works and spinning it in a positive light as opposed to, oh, no, you got a 2-year wait period. That's no good, but it's the best thing you got. Well, who in the world wants to go that route? As opposed to, hey, this is great. You still get day one coverage if you got into a car wreck. You still get day one coverage for any accident. But, you know, based on that medication and, you know, the fact that you do have, you know, you did have congestive heart failure or you did have a pacemaker put in within, you know, X amount of years, well, you know, this is still the best thing we got. And I'm just so excited we were able to find you the coverage you needed to take care of your family at a price that you know you're able to afford. And, hey, remember, we can always add more. So test this out for a few months, and at any point you want to add more coverage, we'll go back over your options and add as much as you are able to afford comfortably. So congratulations again. That's how I make the flips, by constantly keeping it upbeat. And I think the most important thing when making a flip is preparing them, giving them the proper expectations. Anytime I don't make a flip at this stage in a game for me, it's because I skipped the expectation. You know, you're going to talk to people that they're just going to tell you everything you need. They sound great, but, you know, then they get, have you had HIV or AIDS in the last 12 months? Yep. And you're like, oh, come on. So those things will happen. So, Rick, remember, don't skip steps. Those are things that I go back and listen to my calls. How come I didn't get that? What did I do? Sometimes you get an autopilot or you may be distracted. And you forget the one thing that makes the difference, the one thing that gets you a little bit better, the one little teeny tiny thing. In this business, just like in everything, it's not the big things that make the big difference. It's the teeny tiny unnoticeable things that you do consistently that separate average from exceptional. I'm not talking good to great. I'm saying average to elite. It's the words you use and the order in which you use them. So prepare them, give them an expectation before every single call or every single application, and I promise you, you will increase more flips immediately. So that's the process I do it, Rich. Does that make sense?
Oh, man, so good. Yeah, and I would recommend, guys, we'll have this. Obviously, you can go back and listen to the call. It'll be archived on SLG Team as well. So you can go back and listen to that over and over and over. And like David always says, don't, you know, just pick one little thing. Some of you are hearing this and you're like, you heard a lot of little nuggets. Take one you can work on, but then you can go back and listen to the call and work on other things, you know. So don't feel like you got to do it perfect. Just work on yourself to get a little bit better. But that was awesome, David. Man, I'll let you wrap the call. I mean, March Madness, we're stretching ourselves. We're going all out in March. Hope everybody else is too. We do have a form, a March Madness form, shared on Slack if you want to use that to kind of set yourself some goals of where you want to go. But, David, I'll let you end the call, my friend, since we're almost at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and I'll just end on this. Simplify to multiply. I didn't touch on that a minute ago, but that's the reason we say when you're beginning – for the first 90 days especially, two companies, your level go-to and your guaranteed approval go-to. The reason for that simplicity, the flip. You're not sitting there trying to think, ooh, he had this. What's the best thing? What's the best thing? Because if you're uncertain, you can hear it in your voice. Just like if you're talking to someone and they're not 100% confident, or you're talking to someone who's not an expert compared to someone who is, well, the expert just has a body language, a swagger about themselves because they know it. In and out, backwards, forwards, they know it. Same thing with this. If you keep it simple and they get denied or it comes back different, like a modify option, then you automatically pivot to what you know. It's the guaranteed spot. And you're not trying to figure out and think about health and which company to apply. You're keeping it very simple. So your only focus at that point is transitioning them to solve the problem of getting the application approved to take care of their loved ones. Remember, 100% of the people that you help are doing it for someone that they love. You know, have a picture of your wife, a kid, or grandchild, whatever it is that allows you to emotionally connect to them in that exact moment, because they're going to be a little let down. But if you can remember, hey, if that was me, I may have to pay a little bit more, but I'm going to protect my son and my kids and my wife if I'm not here. I'm going to leave one last gift. You know, I tell people all the time that don't have coverage. You know, well, I want $100,000, but my budget's $25. Hey, me too. I want $1 million in the bank, and I don't want to pay taxes. But you know what? I got to play the hand I'm dealt. So at the end of the day, if I don't have coverage, I may not get as much coverage as I want. But here's one thing that I know. 100% of people that I've helped and have passed away, their beneficiaries, whether it's a spouse or a child, 100% of them have been grateful. They don't care about the dollar amount. They care about the one last gift and the example you just set. It's an act of love. It's one last, I love you before you go. We can always add more coverage, but remember, the number one thing is find what you know you can afford first and get as much coverage as that will allow. And that's my job, because I'm an expert and I'm going to help you. I can relate. I have children. I have family. I have loved ones. I'm the same as you. The only difference is I'm an expert in this industry. So find a way to connect emotionally. And I got pictures of my family all over my desk. So it's very easy for me to get to that point to stay out of autopilot at the point of where it's most important to connect with them emotionally. And you can do that by keeping it simple. So let's get out there and have a great day. Always be dialing, and let's rock.